Welcome to Managing AML. I am Dr. Ihab Atala. In today's presentation, I will review novel treatment combinations in development for AML, specifically the role of hypomethylating agents. In this video, I'll provide you with background on hypomethylating agents and existing treatment paradigms, and the investigational landscape of novel therapies in combination with hypomethylating agents, and their potential impact on treatment outcomes for patients with AML. We'll discuss safety and efficacy data of key clinical trials investigating novel agents in combination with hypomethylating agents. So let's begin. So today's presentation, I'll discuss several points. The first is, how can we pick a patient to get intensive chemotherapy versus less intensive treatments such as hypomethylating agents? We'll discuss some of the results of using single agent hypomethylating agents in patients with AML. And then I'll discuss a combination of hypomethylating agents with histone deacetylase inhibitors, immunotherapy, BCL2 inhibitors, and targeted therapies. The targeted therapies, because of time constraints, I will not be able to go through that in detail. The biggest question usually in older patients with AML is who should receive intensive chemotherapy and who should receive less intensive chemotherapy such as hypomethylating agents. It's a really big question, and the decision to proceed with one or the other depends on some disease-related factors and some patient-related factors. So disease-related factors, if a patient has AML with complex cytogenetics, where we know based on data that the response rates are low, maybe that patient would be a patient to consider for less intensive options such as the hypomethylating agents. Patient-related factors includes the comorbidities that they have and the overall performance status or functional status. These really vary from one patient to another, and sometimes a geriatric assessment is useful in helping us in deciding which way we should treat the patient. At the end of the day, it's a discussion between the treating physician and the patient, a discussion of risks and benefits for each approach. There's a patient that you've seen and decided that, you know, this patient is not really a good candidate for more intensive chemotherapy, and you decide to use the hypomethylating agents. We know that there are benefits to patients treated with either decitabine or azacitidine, which is the currently two FDA-approved drugs in this space. This was a study done earlier where patients, older patients with AML, this was a phase 2 study, received decitabine, and the overall response rate was 25% with a median survival of 7 months. Patients who achieved a complete remission had a median survival of 14 months. And in addition, 29% of patients had a stable disease. Very similar to this was a large randomized study where patients were randomized to azacitidine or conventional care regimens. This was a study that was really in patients with myelodysplastic syndrome, but when the study was conducted, the definition of myelodysplastic syndrome went up to 30% blasts. So there was a small cohort of patients, which was previously defined as RAEBT, who actually by current definitions have AML. Patients were randomized to azacitidine or conventional care regimens, as I mentioned, and the conventional care regimens included best supportive care only, low-dose cytarabine, or standard chemotherapy with 7+3. 179 patients were randomized to each arm, and you can see that 30% of patients actually have RAEBT, which is refractory anemia with excess blasts in transformation, which is currently defined as AML. So there's a big, large number of patients who actually had AML. The overall results did show survival benefit for azacitidine compared to conventional care regimen with a difference in overall survival of 9 months. They followed this up with an analysis in patients with AML only. Again, remember, these were patients who had 20 to 30% blasts, and a very similar survival benefit was seen in this small subset of patients. So in conventional care regimens, the overall survival was 16 months versus 24 months for azacitidine. Of note, however, that the rates of complete remission were 18% in the azacitidine arm, which is about 20% overall, very similar to the decitabine study. So as single agents, either azacitidine or decitabine, patients achieve about a 20% chance of achieving a complete remission. This led to using azacitidine or decitabine as the base for several other promising combinations. The first is with histone deacetylase inhibitors, and there's been several histone deacetylase inhibitor studies, including valproic acid, vorinostat, and more recently, prosinostat, which I will discuss in more detail. BCL-2 inhibitors, venetoclax, there's a combination of hypomethylating agents with venetoclax, which I will also discuss in detail. Immunotherapy includes PD-1 inhibitors, such as nivolumab, and other antibodies, such as gemtuzumab, which is Mylotarg, and other antibodies, and I'll mainly discuss the combination of azacitidine and decitabine with nivolumab. Finally, in combination with targeted agents such as FLT3 inhibitors and IDH inhibitors, and as I mentioned earlier, we'll not go into details of this in today's presentation for the sake of time. So to start with the histone deacetylase inhibitors. So we know that epigenetic changes is one of the causes of cancer in general, and azacitidine and decitabine affect the DNA methylation. And then another major epigenetic change is the histone modifications. So histone deacetylase inhibitors, together with azacitidine, which is the hypomethylating agents, lead to increased expression and differentiation in patients with AML and MDS. This formed the basis for several trials combining histone deacetylase inhibitors with the hypomethylating agents. More recently, this was presented of a study of prosinostat together with azacitidine in older patients with AML not eligible for induction chemotherapy. Of note, in the study, eligibility was really left to the investigator whether they thought the patient was eligible for induction chemotherapy or not. The treatment regimen was azacitidine, 75 milligrams per meter squared, daily, IV or subQ for 7 days, together with prosinostat, 60 milligrams daily, 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for 3 weeks. Cycles were repeated every 28 days, and dose modifications were allowed according to myelosuppression or other toxicities. 50 patients were enrolled on that study with a median age of 75, so these were older patients. The bone marrow blasts ranged from 20 to 89, with an average of 40%. Most patients had a good performance status, 0 to 1, and 30% of patients had secondary AML to MDS, MPN, or prior chemotherapy. 42% or 21 patients had poor cytogenetics. So this was an older group of patients with significant with multiple poor prognostic factors. In that study, we saw a pretty impressive complete remission rate, almost doubling compared to a single agent azacitidine. And you can see that the rates of complete remission were 42%. And if you put the complete remission plus complete remission with incomplete count recovery or the morphologic leukemia-free state, almost half patients achieved benefit. The median duration of this response was about 13.2 months. The four patients who achieved complete remission or complete remission with incomplete recovery, the median duration of this response was about 17.2 months. And the overall survival, the median overall survival was 19 months, with a 1-year survival of 62% and a 2-year survival of 41%. This combination is showed promise by doubling the complete remission rate, improvement in the median overall survival, and there's an ongoing phase III trial comparing azacitidine versus azacitidine plus prosinostat in patients with AML, and we'll see what these results show. The second interesting compound is BCL-2 inhibition, which is venetoclax. Based on some preclinical data, the BCL-2 inhibition caused on-target death in patients with AML. This was a very first study where 32 patients with AML, most of them were previously treated. Venetoclax was given at 800 milligrams daily, which is higher than the current FDA-approved dose for CLL, and about 20% of patients achieved complete remission as a single agent. And multiple studies after that, preclinical studies, showed synergistic activity between the hypomethylating agents and BCL-2 inhibition, which led to a phase 1b study, which was presented at ASCO in 2016, It was a phase 1b study of venetoclax plus decitabine or azacitidine in untreated patients with AML not eligible for standard induction chemotherapy. The treatment regimens, patients were allowed to be on either decitabine 20 milligram per meter squared IV for 5 days or azacitidine 75 milligram per meter squared subcutaneously for 7 days. Venetoclax was given once daily continuously with a max dose of venetoclax of 1200 milligram. 39 patients were enrolled and 34 were evaluable at the time of the presentation. This was an older group of patients, with a median age of 74. And again, we see a doubling of the complete remission rate to about 38% or about 40%. The side effects noted were nausea in 54% of patients, neutropenia in 41%, diarrhea in 44%, and a decreased appetite in 33%. Really nothing out of the ordinary for giving these drugs. No DLT was reported, and the MTD, the maximum tolerated dose, was not reached at the time of the presentation. So the combination of hypomethylating agents with venetoclax in untreated AML led to a CR rate of about 40%, and this also appears to be a very promising combination in this group of patients. Lastly, immunotherapy. So both the PD-L1 and PD-1 inhibitors have been shown preclinically in combination with hypomethylating agents to enhance the effect of hypomethylating agents. This in turn led to a phase 1b, 2 study led by MD Anderson, where patients received azacitidine with nivolumab. Therapy is shown here. Azacitidine was given at 75 milligram per meter squared IV for 7 days, with nivolumab 3 milligram per kilograms on day 1 and 14. Again, an older group of patients with a median age of 70. 40% of the patients had a secondary AML. The difference between this study and the prior studies I presented, this was actually in patients with relapsed or refractory AML. So this was not in newly diagnosed patients. And 20% of them actually had a prior stem cell transplant. The overall response rate here was 32%, with 22% of patients achieving a complete remission or complete remission with incomplete count recovery. Again, the difference between this cycle and the prior studies is that between this study and the prior studies is that this one was in relapsed refractory AML. In that study, the overall survival, the median overall survival for patients who achieved complete remission was 15 months. Patients who achieved a hematological improvement was 11.9, and patients who did not have any response, the median overall survival was 5.6 months. The investigators then compared this data with the overall survival from historical studies. So they compared the AZA-nivolumab with historical data with AZA alone, and the median survival, at least in comparison to historical data in patients with relapsed refractory AML, appeared promising, with an improvement from a median survival of 9.7 months, from 3.9 months to 9.7 months. Finally, the last immunotherapy. This was a study actually done a while ago and published in 2013, where azacitidine was combined with gemtuzumab in older patients with AML. Azacitidine was given 75 milligram per meter squared for 7 days, and gemtuzumab was given at 3 milligram per meter squared on day 8. This was in previously untreated AML patients. About 100 patients, 99 patients to be exact, were enrolled on the study, and the rates of complete remission were 44%. So again, a doubling of the complete remission rate from the baseline of 20% with hypomethylating agent by itself to 40% with this combination. So, in summary, I'd like to leave you with these key takeaway points: that several new combinations with hypomethylating agents are currently being studied, and the promising combinations include histone deacetylase inhibitors, immunotherapy, and targeted therapy. Thank you for viewing this activity.